This particular message that I want to share with you this morning is called a call to generous giving. Now, something happened that I want to just share with you that kind of happened in my heart, and I'm going to want us to read this portion of Scripture. It's actually taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, those two chapters. So even in your own times, in your own devotions, I encourage you to read that passage of Scripture. But God himself, there's a little title there, it's a little heading, and it says, A Call to Generous Giving. And even before I go on, this particular church, you know, this church at Corinth was an amazing church. These Greeks, you know, and they're going through an incredible hard times. They're going through troubled times. They're going through difficult times. And then all of a sudden, God talks to them and says something that out of your hardship and your troubled times, you know, there was an incredible sense of generosity that was expressed through this church. Because there was a plea, there was a request that came across. There were the people in Israel, in Jerusalem, the Jews that were going also through a hard time. So now he has these Christians in Greece, they're going through a hard time. But they've recognized that the gospel came to them, Jesus said first through the Jews, and they had experienced such incredible spiritual blessings. And one way they could reciprocate was for them to receive a financial gift and bless them with finances. And they received this incredible gift. It's an incredible story. It's not only in this passage, but it's in other passages of the Bible where these Greeks received this monetary gift and they sent it through to these Jews in Jerusalem. It was an incredible thing. But something that really struck me was this aspect where God speaks to these Greeks in Corinth, and he says, you actually excel in many, many ways. You have incredible faith in Jesus Christ. He says, you have an incredible sense of knowledge. You have eloquence. You have a sense of enthusiasm. You have fantastic preachers. You even have an incredible love for one another. But there's something that I want you to excel in this ministry, this gracious ministry of giving. And that's what I'm going to be touching on this morning, child of God. The aspect of giving. This call, it's a generous call to give. And I want to tell you something, even as we wrap up, and this whole thing comes from, because there was a God, it started with him, friends. So God, so helped me, yeah? So loved the world that he helped me, that he gave his only begotten son. Because you'll see, and we'll touch on it later on, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, it ends off, and it says, thank God for his son, a gift too wonderful for words. How can we express that? The Bible translations tell us it was an indescribable gift. There is no words to describe the gift of Jesus. When the Father gave us his son Jesus, he gave us himself. He gave us his all. He gave us his everything. God is the ultimate giver. And you know, as I started, I just want to lay this little foundation. This is an incredible people that are here at the Crossing Church. But there are people here today, I must confess, friends, they're going to be hearers of the word, and they're going to be people who are doers of the word. They're going to be people, I don't understand it, but it's going to be a reality. You're going to just hear it, it's going to come through the one ear, and it's going to go through the other ear. And in course, the language of Jesus, it says you're actually a fool. It says you build a house, and you built a house on the sand. But those that hear the word and actually apply it and put it into practice in their hearts and in their lives, the Bible says, they are wise, child of God. And you know, John and I were, this is John that was facilitating the meeting. We were just talking earlier on. In view of God's mercy, in view of God's mercy, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, in view of God's mercy, child of God, you and I cannot live a life of greed or stinginess or hoarding. You and I must live a life of generosity. Friends, it's a lifestyle of giving. And child of God, it doesn't matter, child of God, please hear the heart, because it's in the context of Scripture. It's not the size of the gift, because I have the incredible privilege to work amongst some of the poorest people on this planet. Child of God, it's not about the size of the gift, it's the heart. Even Jesus, when the people were coming and bringing the offerings, and I was asked also this morning, they are receiving an apostolic offering. Do you know that? I don't know if you know that, but in any case, we're going to do that at the end. But the way I felt the Lord wanting us to do it, I'm going to ask the deacons to come in front with their baskets, and we're going to give into that coming out of your seats and putting it into this. I want something to be broken in our hearts and lives. But Jesus watched people when they also gave in the temple. It's amazing. That's the way they give. You know, in the culture that I work into primarily, that's the way they give offerings, not the basket going around the way you've seen it. Friends, they dancing, man. As the Bible says, you know, he says God is so overwhelmed, friend, so enamored by people who give generously, graciously. Child of God, you and I must recognize that you and I are only but stewards and managers of that which he has entrusted to us. You and I are no longer the owners. Hey, I'm just reminding you, you and I own nothing, friends. He owns everything. Friends, we've given our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. We belonged to Satan. We were our own kings. We were our own masters, but no more, child of God. We ourselves recognize that Jesus is the Lord of our lives. And I was taught, child of God, when I was a young Christian, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord, help me, at all. Of everything, even our finances, child of God. And child of God, something of this message is not easy. This particular type of message, friends, the devil hates it because he doesn't want you and I to be a generous kind of people. And child of God, please understand something. It must be a lifestyle of giving and of generosity. You know something in the Bible? I haven't even read the scriptures. I'm just getting so worked up, you know. Do you know it talks about that in Malachi, it talks about that you bring your tithes and you give your offerings. I thought, gee, that's quite something. And on top of it, it says that you've robbed me with your tithes and offerings. You know, the tithe, friends, is your 10%. It's from the gross. It's from the top. And child of God, that, friends, is always something, friends, that indicates our honoring of God in view of his mercy. Child of God, from the top, friends, we honor God with the tithe. And many people ask, hey, Manny, where must I give my tithe? Must I give it to the TV ministry? Must I give it to Crossing Borders or wherever? No, child of God, the tithe always comes to the local church. In this case here, friends, it's the Crossing Church. It comes here. But then there's offerings, friends. Do you know, can I say this, you and I haven't given, friends, when we've given the tithe. We've only brought the tithe. We are indicating to God that he is first. You and I only start to give when we start to give generously and when we give our offerings. That's the Bible language. So, you know what actually happened? I recently went to Hole in the Wall with 48 pastors from across Southern Africa. 48 pastors. I had the incredible privilege to facilitate it. On a lot of administration side, Dawn was incredible. My wife, Dawn, who's with the kiddies there, and they've got a presentation on the 27th of November. I don't want you to miss that, boy. It's going to be incredible. But in any case, she sees to the food and all that kind of stuff. There were four cottages. And child of God, in that process, because this passage that I'm going to read to you still, I read at Hole in the Wall, but in this whole process, I said, you know, Lord, I'm getting to know something about the 48 pastors just by dealing with their commitments. It wasn't a big commitment. You know, they only had to pay 2,600 rand and included their petrol went, which was 1,000 rand. There was accommodation, there was gillies, there was food and all the rest of it. They were blessed out of there. But in any case, but you know, it showed me something. There were guys, pastors, and I won't mention any of their names, that they just wanted to remain anonymous. They were observant because I gave them schedules all the time. Regular accountability is very critical and important in this. So I would send them these schedules of how the funds were used, who's paid and who hasn't paid. Who's paid the deposits and who hasn't, you know. So I started to see something of these pastors. Some of them were incredibly observant and were generous. Then it comes to the day, friends, when we have this Hole in the Wall, and it's the time when we were so overwhelmed and so blessed. And I said, and I asked one of the pastors, would you ask us, all of us, to give generously to the workers and to the helpers? So there was like a standard commitment, a standard wage. You should have seen these pastors give, boy. Did they give? They gave, friends, that we bless those workers. I'm telling you, until, you know, I can't do that. I'm telling you, they danced. They were overwhelmed. I don't even think in that kind of area they saw bucks like that before. There was just such a generosity that was just, it just overwhelmed me. You know? And then I'm reading this passage, and maybe I want to read this passage and I want to just share some things. But if you've got your Bibles and to Corinthians, let's just go to this passage, please. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and I'd like to read, the first passage is from verses 1 through to verse 15, and then we're going to go to chapter 9, reading from verses 1 through to verse 15. Can we do that? A call to generous giving, verse 8. Now, I want to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, what God, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and I think they might have it up there. But now I want to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, what God in His kindness or in His grace has done for the churches in Macedonia. Verse 2. Though they have been going through much trouble and hardship, and the world, friends, all over is going through much troubles and, help me, yeah? Hardship. Now watch something here. Their wonderful joy and their deep poverty have overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. So it wasn't compulsion. It wasn't force. It wasn't under pressure. It was as the Holy Spirit directed them. That's how we've got to give. As the Holy Spirit directs us. They begged us, verse 4, they begged us again and again for the gracious privilege of sharing in the gift for the Christians in Jerusalem. Best of all, they went beyond our highest hopes, for their first action was to dedicate themselves to the Lord. They gave themselves first to God, friends, and to us for whatever direction God might give them. Verse 6, so we have urged Titus, who encouraged your giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to complete the share in your ministry of giving or your act of grace. Since you excel, yeah, that verse I was sharing just now. Since you excel in so many ways, crossing church, you have so much faith, such gifted speakers, such knowledge, such enthusiasm, such love for us. Now I want you to excel in this gracious ministry of giving or this grace of giving. Verse 8. I am not saying that you must do it, even though the other churches are eager to do it. This, look at this language here. It says, this is one way to prove your love is real. Or the NIV would say, this is a test of your love. Have you ever heard of, you know, when, you know, Dawn and I have been asked to share on marriage in some of these churches. Have you ever read of what they call this, I'm not sure if the guy's called Gary Chapman or something like this, and he talks about God's five love languages. Have you ever heard of them? Do you know what they are? Just in case you don't know what they are, let me just remind you. Number one is acts of service. Number two is gift giving. Number three is words of affirmation. Fourthly is quality time, and fifthly is physical touch and affection. Now, just to pause there. Now, when we share with people, I always like to be real, you see. Now, for Dawn, my wife, okay, I'm just giving an example here. We're adults here. Is that okay? You see, she's not so much the physical touch and affection kind of person. But Manny is the physical touch and affection type of person. You know what I mean? This Portuguese, this Latin blood. I don't know what blood, but it's inside of me. You know what I mean? But I found a little secret, friends. What Dawn loves, friends, her love language is acts of service. So I found something, a little secret, yeah? And for husbands and wives, this might help you. You know, if you, you know, physical touch and affection is yours, sir, then I'm encouraging you to get involved in acts of service. Now, let me tell you what happened to me, Manny. You know, in our house, friends, I do the washing of the dishes. And I put away the dishes. Now, don't look at me like that, friends. I don't leave that to Dawn or to one of the maids or the helpers, stuff like that, or to Tiffany. She can't even reach the basin or the sink. That's what I do, child of God. Hey, when it comes to physical touch and affection, it works. When I'm in the kitchen, this one day I'm in the kitchen and the dryer, the washing machine is going for it, you see? So the washing machine is doing its cycle, and then I hear, ting, it's end. And I'm just walking past, and I kind of heard this voice. It was so clear. It said, who's going to take the washing out of the washing machine and put it on the washing line outside? And I said, Dawn. It happened a number of times until I recognized it was the Holy Spirit saying, Manny, you do it. There are going to be incredible rewards. There's going to come fruit out of this. So you got to believe me, child of God, I did this. She couldn't believe it because she was busy running here and then everywhere. She was wishing that I would do it. And when she saw it, Rabba Shandai was the rest. I must. This, you know, but you know, God, child of God, let me move on. God has a love language. Do you know that God has a love language? So good to see you, Larry. God has a love language. Do you know what God's love language is? Have you ever read it, friends? In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus said this, if you love me, obey my commandments. Do you know what God's love language is? God's love language, sir, I trust you're going to come back again. That young man at the back there. God's love language, child of God, is, help me here, is what? Obedience. Obedience is God's love language. Child of God, it is absolutely critical. Verse 9. You know how full of love and grace and kindness our Lord Jesus Christ was. Though he was very rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you and I rich in every single way. Verse 10, I suggest that you finish what you started a year ago, for you were the first to propose this idea, and you were the first to begin doing something about it, to receive this gift for the church in Jerusalem. Verse 11, now you should carry, God wants them to finish this work, carry this project through to completion just as enthusiastically as you began it. Give whatever you can according to what you have. Listen to the language, child of God. If you're really eager to give, it isn't important how much you're able to give. God wants you to give what you have, not what you do not have, child of God. Of course, I don't mean that you should give so much that others, that you suffer from having too little. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now, you have plenty and can help them. Then at some other time, they can share with you when you need it. In this way, everyone's need will be met. Do you remember what the scriptures say about this? Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Let's turn over to chapter 9, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, reading from verse 1 through to verse 15. I'd like to do this in the beginning and then make some thoughts and let the Holy Spirit continue to minister to us. I really don't need to write to you about this gift for the Christians in Jerusalem, for I know how eager you are to help. Look at the language. I mean, even in their poverty, even in their hardship, friends, they were so eager to help and to contribute, you know. And I have been boasting to other friends in Macedonia that you Christians in Greece or in Macedonia were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of them to begin helping. Verse 3. But I'm sending these brothers just to be sure that you are ready, as I told them that you would be, with your money all collected. I don't want it to turn out that I was wrong in my boasting about you. I would be humiliated, and so would you, if some Macedonian Christians came with me only to find that you were still ready, that you were still not ready after all I had told them. Verse 5. So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure that the gift you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one given under pressure. Verse 6. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get only a small crop, or only reap a small crop. But one who sows generously or plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each make up your own mind as to how much you should give. Don't ever give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves the person who gives cheerfully. Verse 8. And God will generously, look at this heart of God. God will generously provide all you need. And my prayer is not that he just meets all our needs. Listen to the language. Then you will always have everything that you need. Listen to the language. And plenty left over to share with others. Isn't that incredible? Look at verse 9. As the scriptures say, godly people give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. Never forget the poor, child of God. Never forget the poor. In apostolic ministry, wherever we go, God constantly says, even in the book of Galatians, please remember the poor. child of God, the needy, and they are huge. They're all over the place. Verse 10, for God is one who gives seed to the farmer or seed to the sower and bread to eat. In the same way, he will give you many opportunities to do good, and he will produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Look at the language. Verse 11, yes, you will be enriched, child of God. I want God to enrich us. Look at the language, so that you can give even more generously. Not that you may be enriched, friends, just for you and I to live a stingy and a self-centered life, child of God. Friends, in the Christian life, we don't just think about ourselves, we think of others, because that's Jesus. Friends, he comes and he lays his life, the gift of God, comes and lays his life for you and I. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, listen what's going to happen, friends. They're going to break out in thanksgiving to God. I'll tell you something, they break out in thanksgiving to God. Verse 12 says, so two good things will happen. The needs of the Christians in Jerusalem will be met. That's number one. And secondly, they will joyfully express their thanksgiving to God. Verse 13, you will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. Isn't that incredible? You want to find out a way to really glorify God? Through your generous gifts. For your generosity to them will prove that you are obedient to the good news or the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they will pray with you with deep affection because of the wonderful grace of God shown through you. Verse 15, thank God for his son, a gift too wonderful for words. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. This call, a generous gift to giving. I have a wonderful friend, and he's a guy that actually is coming to the Great Lakes with me. This guy, 41 years ago, there were two individuals that led me to the Lord Jesus Christ. There was an English guy, and there was an Afrikaans guy. The Afrikaans guy, 41 years ago, I was saved in the year 1975 in an army camp where it was compulsory for us white folks to go to these army camps. But can you believe it? I didn't want to go to the army camp, but God had a plan. I got born again, saved, filled with the Holy Spirit in this army camp. The English guy's name is Colin Davids, and this guy is coming to the Great Lakes. Now, he's a business guy, and he sends me a whole lot of, every day, he sends me these one-liners. Now, some of these one-liners in relation to what I'm sharing, I just want to share a few of them and we'll carry on. He says something like this. He says, your seed is a photograph of your faith. Your seed is a photograph of your faith. Because in the light of what I've just read here, the Bible says God gives, help me here, he gives seed to the what? To the sower. He gives seed to the sower. Child of God, can I encourage us in the name of Jesus, don't eat your seed. You sow your seed. God's going to break something of a poverty mentality over us, child of God. If we hear the word of the Lord and put this into practice, it's going to snap something. It's going to break something. Don't eat your seed, friends. You eat your bread, but don't eat your seed. He said something like this, that when you let go of what is in your hand, God will let go of what is in his hand. I can't understand that. I can't understand when the Bible says, give and, help me here, you shall receive. Many of us, friends, there are so many people that are waiting to receive something, in specifically in the area of monetary gifts, friends. Friends, we're waiting for someone to give to us. But can I challenge you and I, child of God? I'm in this with you. Child of God, keep sowing. Because the Bible says as long as the earth remains, there's a seed time and there is a harvest time. No sowing of seeds, no harvest. What farmer, child of God, what farmer, friends, is waiting for a crop, whatever the crop may be, anticipating a harvest, an expectation of a harvest, but he's never sown seed, child of God. Child of God, it's got to be a revelation to us. You and I, on a daily basis, even those guys by the robots, I don't care who it may be, let our giving be under the inspiration of the precious Holy Spirit, but release and give, friends, because it is God's way. The way you and I raise funds in the kingdom of God is we release funds, friends. The kingdom of the way of the world is completely different, friends. It's you give and then you receive. I can tell you stories, friends, when having the privilege to lead this church for 25 years. And God said, Manny, in 25 years and going, God, Brad has caught this as well. This DNA is carried on through Brad and the eldership going forward. God said to me, Manny, I want there to be no bonds, no overdraft. I want you to trust me. Hey, I'm telling you, But I can tell you a story, friends. Like David said, I've been young and I'm getting on. This week I'm turning 63. I've been young and I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. I know some of you are looking at me. I was in a church in Pietermaritzburg this last week. And it was an Indian community. I had a time, but we were living in this house with an oldish couple. They were there for the first day, and then they released us to stay in this home. But this oldest couple, he was in his 17, and the wife was late, also around there. Their hair was black. So when we saw each other, they told us straight away, we dye our hair. So they looked at me, and I said to them, sir, I do not dye my hair. So I'm letting you know that, friends, I do not dye my hair. It's just what I'm, it was an incredible, you know. What was I saying? I got a bit distracted there. Seed faith is sowing something you have been given for something else you have been promised. What I was trying to say, friends, Jesus has been so trustworthy. When Jesus said, I want you to trust me, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing. And leading this church, friends, by the grace of God, friends, he has been the source. Friends, not man. Because I've come across people, friends, and they made many promises to me in leading this church. Many business guys. And I found something, friends, when the Bible says something like this, God is not a man that he should help me. He should lie. He's not a human that he should change his mind. Has he not said it, will himself not do it? Has he not spoken, will himself not fulfill it? God is a God of his word. You know something I wanted to share? I got a message from a friend of mine this week. This guy, friends, owns with his father, I think it's the fourth largest abattoir in South Africa. The fourth largest abattoir in South Africa, Bloemfontein. Now he sends me this photograph and he sends me this photograph of one of their trucks with fridges, and it's a huge abattoir. I had the privilege to go there once because I had to get the meat for the pastors. But in any case, let me just tell you about this truck. This truck was loaded with stuff. And then he says to me, Manny, they were caught. Then I'm asking him a whole lot of questions. And he said, you know, Manny, usually I don't stay over Friday night there and then over to the Saturday. But generally I go home. His home is in Port Alfred. Generally on the weekend he goes. But he stayed over. And SMS comes to him at 4:30 in the morning. And someone says, people are stealing the meat. He knew. He told me once before, Manny, I don't know who they are. But he said, people are stealing the meat. You know, whatever. It's, when I say meat, it's also pigs and it's also lamb. Sorry, I'm just sharing what happens at this place. And he said, Manny, this has been going on for 2 to 3 years, but let me tell you who it was. So I said to him, who was it? He said, it was my dispatch manager. And friends, this thing shocked me, friends. He said, he is the guy on a daily basis that sends me scriptures on a daily basis. And this thing hit me, child of God. I have a message that God is also preparing. It's in, I haven't got the liberty to share, but I've got little snippets. And I've called this message, one day I will share it with you by the grace of God. It's called Living in Front of Jesus. I tell people all, wherever I go, living in front of Jesus has helped me to live a good, clean, Christian walk in life. You know, child of God, I can be alone, yet I'm never alone because I'm living my life, help me, yeah, in front of Jesus. You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says, nothing in all creation can hide from him. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. This is the God to whom we must explain all that we have done. So I ask myself the question, child of God, if you and I are living in front of Jesus, would you and I steal in front of Jesus? No. Would you and I beat our wives in front of Jesus? Or maybe the wives beat the husband, I don't know. Would we behave like that in front of Jesus? Would we talk like that in front of Jesus? Would we watch those movies in front of Jesus? Would we gossip even behind people's back, stabbing them in the back? Would we talk like that in front of Jesus? No ways, child of God. No ways. Live your life, child of God, in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as a church, I've had the incredible privilege to share around the table of the Lord, do this in remembrance of me. And I've said to Jesus, I said, Jesus, would you increase the revelation of sharing around the table of the Lord, do this in remembrance of me. And child of God, I have the privilege to work with leaders across this country and in the countries of the world. I want to share just by the grace of God, even 2017 calendar. You know, Maddie has a 2017 calendar. And I put it out before Jesus and I let the Holy Spirit guide it. And I have my little breaks and I have my leaves. Please, I do have those. I leave little spaces for margin, but I've got to tell you something, child of God. The calendar is completely booked except for one weekend for 2017. And let me tell you something else, child of God. I've had behind the scenes, outside of the church life, we are involved in what I call apostolic intervention. Do you know what that means? Let me explain to you what apostolic intervention means. Friends, apostolic intervention means something like this, friends. It means like, for example, there's one church that we're working with, an amazing church, friends. But the husband and the wife, who are the lead couple of this church, their marriage is being strained. If God doesn't rescue that marriage, if that marriage is not restored, restitution and healed, child of God, that couple have to stand down from ministry because their marriage will disqualify them for ministry. Is that easy? I'm telling you, that is painful. I want to tell you something else, child of God. By the grace of God, I'm not going to mention no names. It's got nothing to do with you. It's living in front of Jesus. But I've got these two pastors of two churches, two lead guys. They want to kill each other. Have you ever heard of that? I'm just being honest with you. I'm just sharing what's happening behind the scenes. We can sing, lift up our hands, hallelujah, rabba, shanda. The next boy out of here, you want to kill each other. So they asked, Manny, I don't impose you, don't force your way, but I was invited to come and share into this. The long and the short of it, I said to them about this table of the Lord. Remember, if you've heard about me sharing about do this in remembrance of me, one of the statements is the table of the Lord is a love feast. It's symbolic of the love of Jesus. And one of the statements of the agape love, it says, love keeps no record of wrongs. So I said to these two guys, you two need to meet together. Like Matthew chapter 18 says, you go. I'm not going to be there, just the two of you. You need to meet there. And then a couple of weeks later, you can come and meet with me. But I want you two to meet with each other. I'm telling you, boy, they let out all their hohos, their junk. Let me put it this way, friends. The records came out. You might say to me, Manny, how do you know if I've got records? Well, you know, just by listening to what's coming out of your mouth tells me you've got records. Sorry, I'm just being honest. You know? Because sometimes I hear, man, I will forgive them. But forget, never. You've got records. Because Jesus doesn't talk to you and I like that, child of God. He forgives and he forgets. Friends, we got records because we're talking about it year after year after year. Come on, man. Forget it. So I get a message. I go to Holy Walls pastor's thing. And this is one of the things I was carrying. And the one pastor phones me and says, Manny, we cried, we shared, there was some, and we said, according to the scriptures, and you reminded us, from today onwards, we cancel the records. So friends, you might still think that they're at each other, but I want to tell you something. They have canceled the records. It's gone under the blood. The way you do it, friends, you put the blood, you put your past under the blood, you live in the present, and you let God direct the future. Another church I had the privilege to go to. This was already planned last year. So I'm going into a church and something happened before I'm coming into this church. I'm invited to the church. I'm not going to tell you who because you're going to put one to one and you're going to find out that it's two. But I'm going into this context, friends. A young church. Friends, the young leader of this church with his wife with three kids, friends. Now there have been other guys like Manny. This is the beauty of team. Have been sharing with him, but he's lied out of his teeth. Sorry, pastor, lead guy. Tell you something, child of God. You live in front of Jesus. You can't lie. If you want to go that way, friends, you're going to have to suffer the consequences. And in any case, friends, I want to hear God, friends. I don't want any of the blockages to this communication. So the long and the short of it, friends, he was involved in an adulterous relationship with someone in the life of the church. He has to stand down for ministry. I've got to go into that church and minister that Sunday. Something happened like I've never seen in my entire life. Because many times when you go into a context like that, either half the church have left the church, or friends, the church is in such despair as they're singing and worshiping, child of God. And it's a growing church, many, many people. Friends, can I say this? Their eyes were only for one person, and his name is called Jesus. child of God, their eyes were not upon man, not even upon the lead guy. Because we as men, we can fail. We can hurt you, child of God. We can disappoint you. But can I tell you something about Jesus? He will never disappoint you. He will never fail you. He is eternal. He is so consistent. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and forever, and forever. There is no one like the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we just look at these thoughts here, I want to stimulate something. How are we to give? In the passages of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 15, I want to just touch on this. Giving is an act of grace. I loved it, friends. I'm coming back to John. You know, John Livados, we were talking in view of your mercy. You know something also in my devotions, I shared this with John. This just came recently. This was in my devotions. You've got to believe me, child of God. I'm in Genesis chapter 14. Because sometimes I meet with people and I say, now Manny, the tithe, for example, is under the law. Really? I want to tell you something, friends. The tithe was instituted and was there long before the law. So I was reading my Bible and I'm in Genesis chapter 14. And I'm picking up from verses 17. Abram goes to war with a whole lot of enemies. His nephew Lot and their spouses and their children and their belongings were stolen by these thieves, these enemies. And then all of a sudden, verse 18 of Genesis chapter 4, verse 18, 14, verse 18 says this. Then Melchizedek, listen to this, he's a mystery. They say some of the people think he's Jesus. But this Melchizedek, he's the king of Salem and he's a priest of God Most High. Listen to this. Brought him bread and wine. Brought him bread and wine. Do you know, child of God, that is foreshadowing of the Lord's Supper. Child of God, when I share and eat of the bread and the wine, the Lord's Supper, in view of his mercy. Look what happens here, friends. Melchizedek blesses Abram. Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. Verse 20 says, and blessed be God Most High who has helped you conquer your enemies. Then out of that response, child of God, then Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all the goods that he had recovered. A tithe. Friends, even that, friends, don't let it be given grudgingly. It's grace, friends, in view of his mercy. Also, friends, in verse, I'm looking at 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2. It says, not dependent on circumstances in hard times. I don't care what situation you and I are in, friends. Continue to sow, friends, even in the midst of famine, in hard times. Keep sowing, child of God. Keep sowing. God knows the times. They gave beyond themselves as God directed them. They gave sacrificially. Sometimes it wasn't pleasant, but as they recognized God had given this, they gave sacrificially. They gave desirously. They gave first themselves to the Lord, and they gave themselves to the people. They gave graciously. This is how you and I are to give. They gave, friends. Their giving was a test of their love, friends. It's one of the ways that we prove our love. You know, next week, child of God, we are going to the Great Lakes. On the Monday, the 17th, for 1 week. And you know, sometimes I like to talk like this in front of you, but I feel I'm going to do this just for the sake of, I really want God to be honored in this. This church is called the Crossing Church. And there's an aspect of ministry that Dawn and I are involved in called the Crossing Borders. Do you know that at Crossing Borders, friends, whatever comes in, friends, is accountable. There's a leadership. There's a financial team. There's Brad. There's Mark Goodfellow. There's Bruce McAlpine. They see that on a daily basis. Do you know that people put into my account personally? I say, no. This is going to the Crossing Borders. Do you know, child of God, by the grace of God, friends, this local church, by the grace of God, doesn't have to cover for the airlines and accommodations, all that. It all comes from the Crossing Borders. I have seen in the faithful stewardship of the funds that God himself has entrusted, I have seen it growing, friends, 20% 1 year, 40% the other year. It went to 80% 1 year. Last year it grew over 200%, child of God. Friends, it is absolutely incredible. I have found, friends, it comes from all kinds of sources. Even on top of it, what happened at Holland Wall, while I'm driving to Holland Wall, I don't actually want to say this either to you, but something happened also. My vehicle, I've got a condo, I've had it for 12 years, and I've loved it. Don't I love that vehicle? But friends, it had a bit of a breakdown. So it had to stay in a place called Uji, which is in the sticks. So it stays there. But these pastors, friends, they are talking amongst each other, and they said, man, guys, it's time that Manny gets another vehicle. I didn't know this until, friends, the email comes, and they put the account, which is crossing borders. So I see what's going on. These guys are putting into that account, friends. I don't even know sometimes who's giving. I don't need to know who's giving. Friends, because it's important, even according to the scriptures, that you and I give anonymously. The Bible actually says you don't mustn't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Child of God, when you give, you're giving to God, who sees everything in secret, and the one who sees in secret will reward you and I openly. You don't have to have big checks and tell them what. You don't have to do that kind of stuff, child of God. God knows the heart. Because this thing, friends, is an explosion. This could be your breakthrough in your physical healing. This could be your breakthrough in the areas, I don't care what it may be. Friends, just this area of giving. It's incredible. I don't know what's going on out there. So, I'm just going on you know. They gave eagerly. They gave enthusiastically. They gave, there was an intentionality when they gave. They started a project and they give, friends. So I was talking about the Great Lakes next week. All my forex for next week, please. You don't have to, even when Brad was mentioning to the church about them being 20K, you know what 20K is? In case you don't know, 20,000 short, friends. I'm not short. I have more than enough. It's for the other guys going. There are six people from this church going to the Great Lakes. This church, child of God, you are involved in some of the ministry I've just shared. You are such an integral part of what's going on out there. You don't understand it. You don't understand. Maybe there's going to be 500-600 leaders going to be ministered, churches, there's going to be crusades, and you're part of that. But in any case, that's fine. I'm nearly done, John. And then it goes on, yeah. It's just, where am I going, Lord Jesus? Then he goes into this verse, which is very, very interesting. This particular verse, what is it? Round about verse 9. I mean, it's just, I'm looking at, sorry, I'm running ahead here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And it talks about here in verse, let me go to verse 6. I need to move on. He says here, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will only get a small harvest or a small crop. But one who plants generously, so the attitude is generously, you know. And you must give what, you know, give from your heart. You know, not reluctantly under pressure. So I'm moving ahead here down to verse 10. He says that God is the one who gives seed to the sower. Seed to the sower. Child of God, I'm wanting God to give you seed. I'm wanting God to give you seed. I'm wanting God to give you seed on a daily basis. You'll never, ever outgive God, child of God. God is so generous. God is so gracious. But child of God, as you and I give, and as you and I release, and as you and I bless these people in the Great Lakes, child of God. And you know what? We encourage them also to give. I've been into context, friends, where sometimes they give me an envelope. This one time, this envelope was so thick. And I actually said to the one guy in the Congo, I said, I can't receive this from these people. And the pastor, our teammate, he said, Manny, you need to receive this, boy. You know? You're going to rob them of a blessing. So I received it. Oh, it was hard, eh? I go to my room because I'm accountable for the bucks. So I open it up in their currency, friends. It was black, it was brown, it was dirty, it was chipped, it was torn. I count this, the equivalent of 214 rand. Yes, I was so emotional. I go to a place in Congo, friends, where there's so much heartache and so much misery and pain. I get an envelope from one of the pastors there, $100. I go to places like in Uvira in the Congo. You've got to understand the poverty of these guys. Friends, when we go there and talk with these leaders and preparing, we're going to have some meetings into this region. Friends, they give me an envelope and I said, Manny, this is just something to help you. You've paid your airlines. You pay your accommodation. This is something to help you. $200. Yes. So that's all accounted for. But I want to end. But this thanksgiving to God. Something, friends, two things happen. The needs of the Christians are met. And thanksgiving to God, and the Bible says you are glorifying God through your generous gifts.